Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am B-Don, joined by, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the fantasy master Lothario, the one you're here for, Gray Albright. How you doing over there, Gray?
I'm good, man. I just got called up to the Yankees, but I'm going to be sitting on the bench. Sorry. Ooh, yeah. Oh, well. I've only been in the minors for 17 years. No, I'm doing good, man. It's good to talk to you. We're talking again. I feel like I just talked to you like 3 days ago because I did.
Yeah. So I'm heading on vacation. So we're doing a little early show just to make sure we don't leave people hanging here in the most important part of the season.
That's right. B-Don's going to Hilton Head.
Yep. Going to go party in South Carolina. And by party, I mean, I'm going to play golf and sit on the beach. So yeah. Crazy fun partying for B-Don, but yes, it'll be a week of no podcasting. So this is what you get instead, and hopefully you've made your way to the YouTube channel because we're releasing that one early. So if you want to hear about anything early, we're gonna pretty much post that whenever it's ready to go. So that one's always gonna be up early. So go subscribe to that, and you'll get the news, the information. That way you can also get it before you have to make your Sunday claims this week.
Where would this be? Just so
I believe that would be youtube.com/RazzballFantasy.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound fun. Yeah. It sounds almost as fun as if Josh Jung actually got called up to the majors, Gray. he's of all the people we said, like, we don't think he's getting called up. We don't think he's getting called up. We think Josh Jung's, you know, on the plus side of getting called up of most of the people. And we have yet to see him. It is Friday, September 2nd. So it's still possible, you know, maybe they were just delayed. They didn't want to bring him up until, I don't know, an exciting Tuesday game. I don't know, Gray. But Josh Jung's been great so far. He was hurt to start the season, so only 18 games on the season, but he has 6 home runs already in those 8 games. He's hitting 300. Like, he's done great stuff. Are we going to see him? Probably not, right?
Also, the Rangers do have Charlie Akuberson at third base, so I don't know, guys.
It's pretty important, Gray.
We got to see what the 33-year-old Charlie Akuberson's got in him. I like how we start each podcast with you making me aggravated. That always makes for a fun podcast. Oh man. Okay. So let's think about this, because I said something okay. So let's backtrack. So I saw John Daniels got fired. Like, I want to say, 3 weeks to a month ago, and I said something online, the next guy to go is Chris Young, and everyone was like, no, John Daniels, the team president in Texas, by the way, no, he got fired so Chris Young could run the place. And I'm like, okay. I mean, some people know the Rangers better than I do, so it's like, I'm not going to argue with Rangers fans. I mean, if that's what they think, if that's what's going on, all right, fine. But isn't Chris Young the reason why they went out and spent $500 million this past offseason and they still have a losing club? I don't understand the love for Chris Young, to be honest. And then, now, 3 weeks later, it's his team. I mean, there's no one else to blame there. It's like Chris Young's. It's his boat to drive into the jetty. your jetties here, sir. It's Chris Young's ship. So if he wants to sail it into the rocks, I guess fine. I don't know how he's going to get into that little area where the captain is, though, because he's too tall. But that's beyond the point. That's irrelevant for this analogy. What I'm saying is, fine, it's Chris Young's team. Great. So why doesn't he bring up Josh Jung then? If it's his team. If everyone's like, no, now it's Chris Young's team. Okay, fine. If you want to believe that. Then why is Josh Jung still in the minors? Why is he still in AAA? He's going to be next year, assuming he doesn't get called up this year, which joked around earlier about how he might get called up for a random Tuesday game. I guess possibly. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he gets called up still, but why wouldn't they call him up when the roster's expanded on September 1? So the fact that he hasn't been called up, I'm assuming he's not getting called up. And if that's the case, why? Why wouldn't he get called up? He's going to be 25 years old to start next season. Dude's no longer young, man. I mean, he's still young. He's not young. And that's also with Chris Young. That is very confusing now that I think about it. But, I mean, seriously, though, why is he still in the minors? And if he is going to be in the minors, these are valuable major league at-bats he could be getting in September. I don't get it. There's one thing who, Corbin Carroll, who we discussed on the last show, the Diamondbacks are slow playing his at bats, which to go on a small detour. In the recent CBA, they came up with this thing where is if a guy starts the year with the team, then he's going to and he wins the or if he comes in the top three for rookie of the year, then the team gets draft picks. They get extra draft picks if the guy comes up and starts the year with the team. What I don't know if they necessarily thought about was that this is now suppressing guys in a different way, where now a guy like Corbin Carroll is not getting everyday at-bats because the Diamondbacks want him to make sure he has Rookie of the Year eligibility next year to start the year. Which, I think the Diamondbacks are smart for doing that. I think it's kind of screwed up. And also, I think it's a flaw with this new CBA. But, I guess the Rangers could be doing that with Josh Jung, but they could just do like the Diamondbacks are doing with Corbin Carroll and bring up Jung and then sit him if he's getting too close to exceeding rookie eligibility. It really makes no sense why Josh Jung's in the minors. For the life of me, I can't understand it. He was ready last year. Forget now. He was ready a year and a half ago. It's really crazy. anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured, so that was part of it. But yes, I don't know why he's not up either. I mean, we know. I guess I do know the reason. The reason is that the Rangers aren't in it, and like you said, they want, if they're going to call him up early and kind of take that gamble, they want to take the run at Rookie of the Year. I think there's a little bit difference in the September service time now that they've cut down from the old 40-man expansion to just 28. So there is a little bit difference there, like you mentioned with Corbin Carroll. Like I said, you mentioned, you know, maybe they wanted to have Jung open at home. That would be next Friday. So that would be the only other possibility I can think of for why he's not up with the club right now.
That's ridiculous. If that's the reason, I'm not saying that's not the reason. Like, you could be right. But if that is the reason, that is so ludicrous. Like, what is it? Like, what are we doing? Are we running a team? Or are we doing fan giveaways? Like, what is that? That would be so ridiculous if it's like, oh, yeah, let's keep our top prospect down in the minors so our fans can see him first. Like, what? Our fans don't have televisions? Is that what you're saying? Because you're insulting our fans if you're saying they don't have TVs.
I don't know, Gray. There's a lot of blackouts out there. We some of us don't get to watch our own teams.
Yeah, man. I guess they're like, our fans might have TVs, but the ones that do, surveys are saying that they don't have cable. So I'm sorry, we can't let them come up yet. Okay. It's so dumb. Right. I mean, the whole thing is so stupid.
It is. It is. It'd be great if we could just get players up when they're ready, and that would just be how it goes. But let's move on to some players that actually have gotten the call up that we're gonna see. And let's talk about what they can do, you know, this season and really kind of look towards next year with a lot of these guys. First is Gunnar Henderson. We've talked about him briefly on the last two podcasts. We didn't necessarily think he'd get the call, but here we are. He got the call, and he's been great this year. He's kind of boosted his stock quite a bit. I believe he was, you know, in the late 20s, early 30s. In Itch's June update, he's now number 2 on his August post-draft update of prospects. At Double A this year, in 47 games, he had 8 home runs, 12 stolen bases, hit .312, .452, .573, 18% K rate, a 19.7% walk rate. At Triple A, in 65 games, he had 11 home runs, 10 stolen bases, he hit .288, .390, .504. K rate went up slightly, but walk rate was still high at 13%. I mean, he's already up. He's hitting 5 or 6 the days he's been up. The Prospectinator has him for 19 home runs, 9 stolen bases, and a .239 average. I think the average on the minor league guys is always a little bit low in their first kind of appearance here. But outside of that, what are you thinking with Gunnar Henderson? I know he said spend all your fab last week with Carroll, but if you didn't get Carroll, spend all your fab now?
Yeah, hopefully you didn't spend all your fab on Carroll, because Gunnar Henderson's even better. I think we both thought Corbin Carroll was going to be the top prospect. I'll say this, though, for Corbin Carroll. Like, he's kind of on the same page as Gunnar Henderson. Like, it's sort of tomato-tomato when it comes to both of them. So if you did spend all your money on Corbin Carroll, it wasn't a total waste. All right, so don't write us angry emails or start commenting on YouTube with frowny faces. It's okay. It's all right, guys. Gunnar Henderson. So this is what's so. I was like, you know, today I was today Friday, the second Friday the second. I was challenged in the comments on Razzball, not challenged, but someone questioned my love for Gunnar Henderson, which is fine. Cram, who's in our Perts League, longtime commenter. It wasn't that much of a challenge. He was just sort of like, you know, he wasn't as high on Gunnar Henderson. And Cram, I mean, he knows his stuff. So, you know, I mean, he could be right. It didn't seem like he was as high on Gunnar Henderson than I was like, yeah, no, I'm pretty high on him. So anyway, I texted our previous podcast host, now at Baseball America, Jeff, who knows prospects as well as anyone, I was like, hey, so I think Gunnar Henderson is Trevor Story without the injury, you know, without the all the injury history, you know, that Trevor Story has. And Jeff was like, yeah, that's pretty spot on for a comparison. So, I mean, that's really good. I think that's like, you know, top 20 at least overall for a, you know, a big chunk of his career if he's able to stay healthy and on the field and do what we expect, you know, what everyone I think expects of Gunnar Henderson, or at least most. So yeah, like 30 homers, 15 to 20 steals, 280 average, like, you know, and that's kind of like baseline. Like that's really good. I think that's what Gunnar Henderson's potential is for this year. Like with all these guys we're going to talk about, you know, I mean, he could get hot for 3 weeks or he can go really cold for 3 weeks. It's impossible to say how he's going to be with this first taste of the majors, but we're, you know, long-term wise, Gunnar Henderson is, I think he's going to be a top 20, top 15 overall guy for like 5 to 7 years, you know, assuming good health.
Yeah, it sounds like you're maybe slightly higher on Gunnar than I am, but he has done some great things this year. He's really cut down the K rate. That was pretty much the, you know, that was the big thing on him, was if he could control the strikeouts, and he's done that. So, I mean, if that's fixed, he really can be just a you know, a five category producer for you. I will say, for those of you who spent all your fab on Corbin Carroll, other than the playing time concerns that we kind of talked about already, I am still perfectly happy with Corbin Carroll and wasting all of my fab on him if you got him. Because I do think Corbin Carroll is, you know, completely ready to hit the ground running. He has a little bit more of a track record, I would say, of being a patient hitter, of not having a strikeout problem. So I think there's just, and I think the speed in the speed department, Carroll has Gunnar. Like, Gunnar stole 22 bases this year. That's phenomenal. That's great. I don't know if he's ever going to be like 22. Might be the most he ever puts up in the majors.
Yeah. No. I mean, possibly, for sure. And watching Corbin Carroll, which I did this week, he you know, he's super fast, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. He's really fast.
Yeah.
He's got more speed than Gunnar Henderson. I think if anything, I think Corbin Carroll could be 30-30. And like I said before, Gunnar Henderson's probably 30-15. So for sure, Corbin Carroll, I think, has a little bit edge on Gunnar Henderson. And also for like this year, we don't know. Like the Orioles are like, I mean, this might be irrelevant for people's leagues at this point, like, but at the, like the last week or so of the season, if the Orioles get eliminated, I wouldn't be surprised if they start playing games with Gunnar Henderson's playing time too, because they're going to want him to have rookie eligibility to start next year too. Like, it's not just Corbin Carroll that's going to run into this issue. Like, Gunnar Henderson, at some point, they're going to be like, oh yeah, we're just resting him. And it's like, really? You're resting him? Why? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Orioles like do something where they like bench him against lefties or something. Like, I could see that happening. I don't think it should, but I could see it happening, because they're going to want rookie eligibility for him next year too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. I will have to look up how the service time works in September now that they've adjusted the rosters. I can't quite remember how that works now, but that will be.
What I'm saying is, I think what I think it is, I'm pretty sure this is what it is too. 130 at bats and you lose rookie eligibility. So you want to stay under that. That's what it's always been. If that's changed, you know, I comment on YouTube or in the post and let us know that it's changed. But I think that's what it is.
Okay. I know when it was the 40-man rosters, because those players couldn't go into the playoffs, and because it was 40-man rosters, their time that they were up in September didn't used to count. But I think they had made an adjustment when we went to 28. But again, I'm not sure. So yes, if somebody has clarity on that, please comment, or I will look it up and let you all know when we talk next. But yes, I'm perfectly fine with both those guys. They're both going to be phenomenal. I think, you know, on Gunnar Henderson, I think he's kind of Javi Baez, Trevor Story, like you said. And then when we're talking about Corbin Carroll, he might meet more Trey Turner.
Yeah. Yeah, potentially, for sure. I think Corbin Carroll might even have more power than Trey Turner. And he's really fast. I mean, Corbin Carroll is really good. So, yeah, don't take anything I'm saying about Gunnar Henderson the wrong way. I think Corbin Carroll is also going to be a top 20 overall guy. Like, I think Corbin Carroll is really good.
Yeah,
so,
we're talking about the 1 and 2 guy on Itch's latest update. So, high hopes for both. Let's move on to the next guy, Oswald Peraza. He got called up number 96 on Itch's list, partially due, and he says this in his comment, that it's the path to playing time. He didn't know exactly how that happens. To that extent, he's not playing today as we speak. But in AAA this year, he had 99 games, 19 home runs, 33 stolen bases, 259, 329, 448. He has hit 273 since July 1st. So after just kind of a sluggish start to the season, he has kind of picked it up even more. Prospectinator has him down for 16 home runs, 22 stolen bases, 241, 294, 390. On Oswald Peraza, what are you doing with him this season? Is he worth a pickup in, I'll say, like a 15-team standard league? Or are we looking more, you know, would have to be daily at that point?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends. Because, like you mentioned, the Yankees aren't playing him on Friday the 2nd, which is bizarre. I don't know why you bring up a guy and not play him. Like, it doesn't really make any sense. Especially, like, they don't have anyone. I mean, they're playing Josh Donaldson. Like, at some point in, like, the last 10 years, the Yankees forgot what made them a 1990s powerhouse. Like, they brought up, like, Posada, Jeter, Mariano, like they were all in-house guys that they let those prospects play. And at some point they became like the Yankees became like this team that brings in like old crappy Josh Donaldson types and like and they keep playing Aaron Hicks. It's like, guys, come on, man. I mean, you know better than that. Like, why would you play these guys? Like, you have all the money in the world. You brought them in on a deal, but that doesn't mean you have to play them. Like, it doesn't really – like, honestly, it's kind of weird. I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, like, if Peraza is not playing, then he's kind of like, you know, he's basically C.J. Abrams. But if he is playing, like, if he's playing near every day at least, or – you know, if you're in a daily league, then you could sort of figure it out the day of. But, yeah, I like Peraza a lot if he's playing. Like, he's got crazy speed. Like, you mentioned the steals in the minors. Like, he's fast. Like, he's another guy. And everyone needs steals. So, yeah, I mean, he's got a little bit of pop. He's got good speed. Yeah, I mean, I think Peraza could definitely – he's actually really good. He's got good contact, too. I kind of like Peraza better than – Oswaldo Cabrera, and they need to change Oswaldo, or Oswald needs to change their name. Like, that's not going to work for me. I'm sorry. I already have enough Luis Garcias going around. I can't deal with now extra Oswaldos. It's just not going to work for me. Yeah, I mean, I think also with like Oswald Perez, he could like next year. If he gets the everyday playing time, I mean, it's hard to say with the Yankees because, like I said, they go out and they like bring in vets and they never play their prospects. Like Miguel Andujar had a breakout year and he only did it because there was an injury. And then once the next year came, they benched him. Like that was crazy. That's still crazy to me that Miguel Andujar never got playing time again after having a huge year. Yeah, I don't know. With like, I was gonna say for next year, like if Oswald Peraza or even Oswaldo Cabrera, if they have playing time, they're kind of interesting for next year. I don't know. It's their Yankees are so hard to trust when it comes to playing time for prospects that I don't think they're going to be really very high, drafted ADP, like their draft price will probably be pretty low, if even at all, in shallower leagues, because I don't know what their playing time will be. And I don't think anyone's going to know until like we get to, you know, next April and the Yankees actually look like they're playing one of the two guys. But yeah, I like them a lot. If they have playing time, I'm totally interested in them for next year too. Like as well, Oswald Peraza is only 22 years old and he just went, he hit 19 homers and stole 33 bags in AAA. That's great. That's really good. I don't know. That's excellent. And he's a, he's got great speed. Yeah, I'm in on him. I just don't know their playing time, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees have Peraza, and then they also obviously have Volpe down in the minors, right, who also just got promoted to AAA. He's basically taking Peraza's spot. And so they have the middle infield of their future if they just, would get rid of Kiner Falefa and LeMahieu and Gleyber and everybody else that's there, and just hogging the spots. I mean, LeMahieu's under contract for 4 more years till he's 38, so good job on that contract, Yankees. But it's also the Yankees. They can just cut him. That's the benefit of having the money, is they don't have to necessarily play him, so let's just cut him.
Like, you say that. Like, they could. You say that, and I agree that they could. But then you see Aaron Hicks is getting playing time for like 5 years after the point when he shouldn't be getting playing time. Like Aaron Hicks should have been cut 2 years ago and they're still playing him. So it's like they can cut these guys, but they never do. They just keep playing them.
Yeah, I mean, he signed that deal, 3 years ago? So he's probably got 4 years on his deal too left. So yeah, I mean, they're both sitting on contracts. They're both just wasting spaces, and it's the Yankees. Like, that's what this is supposed to buy you. That's what the Yankees' money is always supposed to have bought. But now they
even the ones that, like, Matt Carpenter really worked out well for them. But if you look at that deal, like, even though it worked out, like, that's putting, that's like doing hindsight being 2020. Like, before that worked out for them and Matt Carpenter was brought in, like, looking at that, you're like, why don't you just bring up Peraza or Cabrera? Like, why are you bringing Matt Carpenter in? And then they brought in Marwin Gonzalez. Like, they bring in these guys and you're like, what are you guys doing, bro? Like, what are you doing, man? It doesn't make sense. Like, why are you bringing in all these guys? And like I said, like, Carpenter worked for them, but It's not good process to bring in like the 36-year-old. It's just not great. I don't know. Anyway,
no, it's really not good process. And you'd think with an organization that really only matters if you win the title. Like, that's all that matters for the Yankees. So making the playoffs isn't a thing for them like it is some organizations. You'd think they'd be a little bit more motivated to get some of these guys up. But here we are.
Actually, the place where you are in Georgia, the Braves are really smart with how they run their franchise. Like, you see, like the league is run by 27-year-olds and younger. Like, it's not a 35-year-old league. And, like, the Braves have really brought in, like, they bring up their prospects really fast. They let them play. They give them some money. And, it's like, I mean, the Braves are really, they're showing what people should be doing. Instead, it's like, and the Yankees, then they go out and get Matt Carpenter. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why he was available. I mean, it's fine. I mean, he hit well when he was healthy with the Yankees, but it's like, no one wants Matt Carpenter, bro. Come on.
You don't need more veteran presence on the Yankees. Like, that's not what is needed at that point. Like, the Braves, part of the reason I think that they play so well is because they're having fun. Like, it's a fun clubhouse. Like, there's a lot of young guys in there. And so it's just a different environment than, like, the stuffy Yankees clubhouse, I think.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's move on to the next guy, which is D.L. Hall. We've talked about him before because he did get called up. He got his one start, sent back down, then called up, you know, as soon as we got to September. He is number 64 on Itch's list. He's the number one pitching prospect for Baltimore. His first game in the MLB wasn't great.
No way. Is he? No, Grayson Rodriguez is number one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So number two, sorry, my bad. But AAA this year, his actually numbers weren't phenomenal either. 4.7 ERA, 1.45 WHIP, 36% K rate, 14% walk rate. I mean, he is a volatile pitcher. He has a lot of stuff to use. It just doesn't always find the plate, Gray.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we said exactly when he got called up originally. We probably said something similar to that, though, because, yeah, I mean, his command is so all over the place that – I mean, I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't even trust him in an AL only, and in those leagues, like you basically roster everyone. So, I mean, I could see picking him up in AL only, maybe as a lottery ticket, but yeah, I wouldn't be excited about him anywhere. And then, like next year, I mean, I don't really love rookie pitchers to begin with. I think I think he's still like 2 years away, I think. Like he could be good for moments next year. Like I kind of like think about like Hunter Green this year, where he's like, he had good starts. He had some great starts even, like, you know, but it's not like a every start kind of guy. And D.L. Hall looks like that. Like his command is just way too wonky to trust him. I wouldn't go anywhere near him.
Yeah, and I actually just saw this news that they're actually calling up. He's going to be in relief, Gray. So he's not even going to be a starter. So, we can kind of move on from him for this year. But he is, I mean, the stuff is there. If you like kind of that high upside pitcher to take your shots on in your drafts for next year, D.L. Hall is one of those guys. And the fact that he's already getting the call up and he's getting time in the majors is a good sign for next year. But yes, not going to need him for this year. Let's move on to the Tigers, who called up Spencer Torkelson and Ryan Kreidler. We don't really need to talk about Kreidler other than AL only and really deep AL only. So he's not really going to be that much on many rosters. But let's talk about Spencer Torkelson. He was number 5 to start the year on Itch's prospect ranks. He's no longer ranked because he's not a rookie. But in his triple A stint, he had 35 games, 5 home runs, 1 stolen base, 229, 348, 389. Not exactly pristine there either. But last year, we kind of saw what he can do in the minors. Maybe just a case, small sample size, or just him kind of being bored down there. In his 83 games in the majors, it was 5 home runs, 197. So it wasn't great in the majors either this year. He's just 22, so try and remember that. But how are you excited for the recall part two here, Gray?
Oh, man, he actually gives me a little bit of the shakes because he was the guy who I grabbed in our and me and Donkey, we shared a main event team this year, and I drafted Spencer Torkelson over Julio Rodriguez. It was like, oh, yeah, that was really bad. And that was it was before we knew Julio Rodriguez was breaking breaking with the club. So I mean, it sounds really awful now. And it was pretty bad at the time, but it was less bad, maybe. It was still pretty bad. I was, I was really in on Spencer Torkelson to start the year. I had him in that team that I just mentioned. I drafted him in like two 12-team mixed leagues. I think I drafted him in our RCL. I was really into Spencer Torkelson. Like, if you see now in retrospect, this sounds ridiculous, but on Fangraphs, it says he's arguably the best college hitter in the last decade. It's like, and then you scroll down to his stats, and it's like, oh, he hit 197. Oh yeah, oh man, I think I want to say I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure I read something that he altered his swing a little bit. Like he took something out of his swing, like that was messing with his timing. This in the last couple weeks being in the minors. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in any leagues this year unless he's hitting. Like, if he comes up and he starts hitting well, and he's getting, you know, everyday playing time and he's hitting, then he's essentially, you know, like anyone who would be doing that. Like, you know, if Corey Dickerson is doing that, then it's no different, you know. So if he's a hot potato, then great. But for next year, I don't know, man. He's going to be tough for me to get. Like, he's probably going to come really inexpensively in drafts. So there's at least that. I think I would probably be interested in a deeper league and then, you know, sort of wait and see for shallower leagues. But yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get totally in on him because, like you said, unless we see something in September from him where he does look like a changed hitter, because like you said, like his numbers in the minors after getting demoted are still not good. Like he's still – something's wrong. Like I feel like – Jared Klenick sneezed on him or something. Something happened. Did the Tigers face the Mariners at some point? Because and Klenick sneezed on Torkelson? Because something's going on here where it's like Torkelson looks as broken as like Klenick, who also, like, if we're thinking about, like, you know, Jared Klenick, like he was a can't miss prospect too, and now people are like, does he need a change of scenery? You know? So it's like Torkelson, like, I'm not saying Torkelson's broken, but things do happen to top prospects where they don't always pan out. So we'll see what happens with Torkelson, but I think I want to see something before I'm totally jumping back in.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking he could also kind of go the Alec Baum route where we expected him to really like come up to the majors and just start producing immediately. And instead of that, it's really going to be more of kind of a slow climb to fantasy usefulness. Still not sure Baum is completely there in shallower leagues, but like he's building there. Like he's building the power in. He's hitting for average right now. So if he can carry over the average and continue to build power, we'll finally get a useful fantasy player next year. Torkelson may end up being that same way, where he kind of has to find it piece by piece a little bit.
Yeah, no, potentially. I think Torkelson was, you know, I mean, he was really like, he was as can't miss as they come. And I mean, as a guy who I just mentioned, he was as can't miss as Klenick. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully he's okay. I mean, hopefully he comes out of it. He's got the downside of, like, if he's not hitting for power and average, then he's not doing anything because he doesn't have any speed, obviously. He's a lunky first baseman who just, you know, so he's got to hit for power and average, which he should. but he just hasn't yet. So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll probably be in on him just because I'm just a sucker for post-hype sleepers. And like you said, the draft price should be fairly minimal next year. So should be able to grab him up in the very late rounds. Jonathan Rhonda got called up by the Rays, number 84 on Itch's list. Triple A this year in 104 games. He had 18 home runs, 4 stolen bases. He hit 318, 394, 521. He had 21.5% K rate, a 9.7% walk rate. Prospectinator has him down for 15 home runs, 3 stolen bases, and a 267 average. Jonathan Rhonda with the Rays. Are you interested in a Rhonda? More than Torkelson, I would assume, but am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I just don't know about the playing time. I don't think the playing time is necessarily completely there. I mean, if he's playing, then I'm interested, but I don't know. I mean, the Rays, like, even a guy who seems like he would have everyday playing time, I worry with the Rays. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect, honestly, from him from a playing time standpoint. He's got good tools. He should be good. He's got, like, you know, he's got a great hit tool. Like, he's one of the few guys who you can say, like, you know, he should hit 290 plus, and he's got some power. He's stolen a few bases. He doesn't look like he has any real speed, but he's stolen a couple bases in AAA. I don't think that's going to really carry over, but his power and his average should carry over. It's just, I don't, like, who sits every day so he plays? I don't know. I mean, no one I see in their lineup is moving out of their lineup for him on an everyday basis. Like, here and there, sure, yeah. I mean, I could see, like, you know, a Paredes or a Choi or a Diaz, or, you know, all those guys are benchable here and there for a day or two. But Arenado's got to, like, Jonathan Arenado doesn't have, like, an everyday spot in the lineup, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he should play over G-Man Choi. He should probably play over Taylor Walls if you can move Paredes over, but again, I don't know if he's probably hit over Harold Ramirez just to get him the at bats. I just don't know if it's going to actually happen. So I am with you because it's the Rays, and the Rays, like, to earn full time playing time with the Rays, you have to be just a complete stud, and, like, he's just not there yet.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of surprising that anyone ever breaks out with the Rays. I don't know how Randy Arozarena had to have that huge playoffs in, what was it, 2020? He had to have those, like, insane September and the playoffs. Otherwise, he wouldn't have played in 2021. It was like, without those playoffs from him, where he was just, like, the hottest bat in the majors for, like, 3 weeks, he would have never have stayed in the lineup the next year. And, you know, and then he stayed in it, and he kept doing what he was doing. So that, you know, Kevin Cash was like, oh, you know, he's like, it's just so fluky. Like, if Jonathan Arenado, if he gets, like, you know, if he gets crazy hot in September, maybe he finds himself in the lineup every day and he works his way into it. But no one coming up is going to get everyday playing time for the Rays. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I would take him over Torkelson for this year. For next year, I'd probably flip flop.
Also, like, if you think about, like, no one gets playing time for the Rays, and then Kevin Cash gives Taylor Walls playing everyday playing time.
I know.
It's like, yeah. Anyway, sorry, not to interrupt. What are you saying?
Oh, I was just saying, I for this year, I would take Aranda, even with the playing time concerns, over Torkelson. For next year, I may swap him just because I think if they're going to start Torkelson up next year, he's going to have full playing time. And again, I don't know when Aranda's going to finally be handed that opportunity, especially, you know, Brandon Lowe, if he's coming back, he'll be back at second base filling one of those spots. Moving on to the next prospect, which is Hunter Brown. He got called up by the Astros. Now, he's likely a top 100 on most lists, maybe even like a top 50 or 60 on most lists. But because Itch is a full 10 staff, there is no such thing as a pitching prospect. He doesn't make Itch's top 100. However, in AAA this year, Hunter Brown had a 2.55 ERA, a 1.08 whip in 106 innings. He had a 31.5% K rate, 10.5% walk rate. The walks and the control has always been the issue for him, kind of at every stop. Plus velocity, plus curve, a slider that is a good enough, maybe even above average. The prospect hitter has him for a 3.87 ERA, a 1.37 WHIP, 8.6 K per nine, and a 4 walk per nine. The only number I don't really believe in that is maybe the K per nine. I feel like that's even low for him. Whereas the ERA may need to bump up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, potentially. You know, it's funny because, like, everything the Astros touch just gets better. Everything. Like, there's guys on their team. Like, Framber Valdez was, like, in AAA, or actually in AA, he was a 4-plus ERA guy, Framber Valdez, that is. And and there's a few guys here, like I'm looking at like the Astros rotation, Luis Garcia. I mean, they get so much out of these guys, so much more than I think anyone really expects. So I don't know. I mean, maybe next year. For this year, I don't even know what Hunter Brown's role is. I mean, he might get a start or two just so they rest Javier, and because Verlander is out with a phantom injury, so maybe Hunter Brown gets a start here or there. But, you know, I think Hunter Brown, he might not make the rotation next year out of camp, but he could potentially, like, he looks like he's got great stuff. Like, he's got really good velocity, and he's got a nasty curve. I'm kind of interested in him for, like, deeper leagues next year, for maybe AL only, for keepers for sure. This year I wouldn't be surprised if we get less than, I want to say, 15 innings from him this year. I mean, maybe 20 at the most. I don't think we're gonna get anything from him.
Yeah, I would expect a spot start or two, and then mostly in the bullpen for Hunter Brown. Unfortunately, at the end of the year, a lot of these young pitchers don't have the innings built up on their arm to continue throwing starts, and a lot of rotations are set. So, we'll probably only get to see small sample size of Hunter Brown. But I will say, I think, like, if he can get the walks and the command under control a little bit, I think he could kind of be next year's Spencer Strider, where, like, maybe not drafted as a guy that's going to be a top pitcher, but just kind of shows up and just puts up numbers start to start because the stuff is that nasty. And then especially early on in the majors, you can sometimes get away with a lack of control because guys don't know not to chase your curve or your slider out of the zone yet.
Right. Yeah, no, completely. I was also, to my point earlier, I was looking at Luis Garcia's prospect numbers and he looked terrible. I mean, he did not look great. I'm not saying he's like, you know, the best pitcher now, but he's a totally usable fantasy starter, let alone a regular starter. Like, he's been totally fine. And like Jose Urquidy, like, I don't know. I mean, he was a little bit better thought of in the minor leagues, but not even that well thought of. Like, he still had a 4-plus ERA. Urquidy, that is. He had a 4-plus year ERA in the minors too. So I don't know. I mean, you know, different guys. It doesn't, you know, what Urquidy and Garcia and Framber did doesn't necessarily matter for what Hunter Brown's going to do. But I'm just saying, you never know with these pitching prospects. And the Astros really seem to coach guys up. So, well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't necessarily work for Mark Appel, who was the 101. So, yes, there are hits and misses in every organization.
Yeah, that's a throwback, yeah, for sure.
I mean, if we're talking about Urquidy, I think they were drafted in the same year, or right around the same year. Spencer Steer is our next guy across 35 games at AA. 48 games in AAA for Minnesota and 23 games at AAA for Cincinnati. He had 23 home runs, 4 stolen bases. He hit .274, .364, and .515. Since joining the Reds, he's hitting closer to .300. He's hitting .293. He's not in Itch's top 100. Without putting words in Itch's mouth, I would guess he makes the next set of 25, though. Prospectinator actually has him for 22 home runs, 4 stolen bases, and a .243 average. So actually has the Prospectinator likes Steer a little bit comparatively to where he fits in amongst kind of the prospect rankings in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Actually, I was looking at Spencer Steer today's in my NL only keeper. I was looking to find Spencer Steer on waivers, and I found out that Laura, our waiver wire writer, she got him yesterday. So yeah, I was a day late on that. So with that said, so Spencer Steer is going to turn into an all-star because everything Laura touches is great. I don't know how she does it. She's always, she beats me every year in our keeper league. I'll be honest with you. It hasn't been a great run for me in our keeper, in my keeper. Spencer Steer is because he doesn't really have huge power or huge speed, it'll be interesting to see what he does because, he's one of those guys where I do think, Great American Park is, Great American Ballpark is so good for power that his power could play up in there, so that could help him. But the guys that are, the guys who don't really hit for great power and who don't have amazing speed and who have, okay, average, they're usually kind of forgotten for the most part in fantasy, in shallower leagues for sure. In deeper leagues, if he's got everyday playing time, then it becomes more interesting, but he's not really he doesn't really have jump off the page type numbers for any one category. He's kind of he's decent across the board, but not really great anywhere. As of right now, it looks like he's playing over Jose Berrio for the Reds. It looks like he's taking over Jose Berrio's job, which Jose Berrio is another he's another whole story with the Reds. Whatever they did to him, man. I mean, he should have been up 2 years ago. They let him flounder in the minors, and now he seems like he's unhappy and he's not hitting with the Reds when he was he was as can't miss as can be too. Jose Berrio is supposed to be so good. Spencer Steer seems okay. He seems really good for NL only and kind of for mixed leagues. If it's a deep enough league and Steer is playing every day, then it's okay. Then it's fine. I mean, then you can you can sort of justify it because of counting stats. But yeah, I mean, he's not really that exciting.
Yeah, it looks at least by projections, he's supposed to slot at the bottom of the Reds lineup. The Reds lineup is iffy, maybe average at best, and maybe that's only because of their ballpark. So I think in kind of standard leagues, he is pretty much streamable, and that's at best. NL only leagues, grab him, be more interested next year if he's getting kind of full playing time and see where he slots in the lineup, because really what you're getting out of him is a little bit of average and a little bit of power, and neither of those are necessarily things that are going to show up in a small sample size like the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
All right, let's move on to Ken Waldichuk. Crossed AA and AAA this year for the Yankees and now Oakland. He had 95 innings, 2.84 ERA, a 1.158 WHIP, a 13 K per nine, a 3.4 walk per nine. He's been above a 30% K rate at each stop except for a small sample size in Oakland so far, which is 18 and two-thirds innings. He went 4 2/3 with 1 earned run, 6 Ks, and 4 walks in his first start. The Prospectinator has him down for a 3.92 ERA, a 1.3 WHIP, 9K per 9 and then 3.7 walk per 9. What do you think about Ken Waldichuk? Are you more interested in him than any of the other pitching prospects we've talked about today?
No.
No?
No, I'm not. I watched him pitch the other day. I want to say, is it Thursday? I don't know. Anyway, I watched him pitch, and I watched the A's versus the Nats game. So, you know, for that alone, I should deserve an award. So I watched him, and I wonder if I might have. So I only watched him for four innings. So, you know, take it or leave it, what I'm going to say. But he really couldn't find the plate when he needed to. Like, he was really wild. Not really, like, fooling anyone wild, too. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. That could be just, like, the four innings and nothing else. And, you know, he can go on to have a great career. He can even be good in his next start. You know, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just such a small sample size. But what I saw was a guy who wasn't fooling really anyone with his, like, all his pitches outside, off the plate. Like, everything that was off the plate, no one on the Nationals was really biting on it. And that's the Nats. So, that's not great. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, that's only four innings. And but for in the big picture, for him, I wouldn't go near him, even if it was a good matchup, like the Nats matchup. Like, you know, he couldn't go five innings versus the Nats. I don't trust him for this year at all. I wouldn't go near him in any league this year. Next year, yeah, I mean, he's kind of interesting for next year, because if the A's are going to have him in the rotation, I mean, more or less a probably more of an AL-only guy for next year, but I could see deeper leagues potentially, you know. I mean, if he figures it out, his fastball was decent. It didn't blow me away, but it was decent. I mean, he definitely had a few pitches where, like, his change looked good. So, yeah, next year maybe. This year I wouldn't go near him.
Yeah, and his next start is at – or home for Atlanta. That's one where you're definitely not going to let him go out there. So I would say monitor that start and see how it goes. I think I'm a little bit higher on him maybe than you are for the rest of this year, just because he's the one of the only pitchers we've talked about so far that actually has a spot in the rotation, potentially. Just, you know, that's maybe the one thing that's hanging in his favor the most. But, you know, it's also a favorable park for him as well. So maybe not as scared, but again, not starting him versus Atlanta, which means you're only going to get like two more starts out of him anyways. So probably not worth your roster spot at this point. Yainer Diaz, 57 games at AAA, 9 home runs, .316 average. 48 games, so less games at AAA. He has more home runs. He had 60 home runs. He's still at .294. It's impressive numbers. He's a catcher. He also played some first base, left field, right field, and DH'd a little bit this year in the minors. Prospecting Hitter has him down for 20 home runs, 2 stolen bases, and a .254 average. Let's talk about your favorite subject in the world, Gray, prospect catchers.
I actually really like this guy. I added him into our outline for this podcast. I'm a fan of Yainer Diaz. I don't know if he's going to play enough this year. The thing with this year is, I think if Yordan Alvarez is, if his hand is bothering him, then I could see Yainer Diaz potentially getting some playing time at DH. And he's got catcher eligibility. I mean, he looks really good. He's got huge power and he makes really good contact. I'm kind of interested in him next year. It'll depend on what the Astros do in the offseason. I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know Maldonado's deal. If Maldonado's back, which the Astros seem to love Maldonado, or I don't know Vasquez's deal. I don't know any of their deals. I don't know if Yainer Diaz is going to be back like, if he's going to be as the catcher, or if he's going to be a backup catcher, or he's going to be back in the minors. I have no clue. But I'm kind of interested in him in super deep leagues. I don't know. I'll be watching him in off season. He could be a guy who, like, you take a flyer on him in the very last round of a 50 round, like a draft champions, like a 50 round draft and hold. You take a flyer on him in, you know, November, December of this year, and then he somehow sneaks into playing time next year. I mean, he could be as good as, like, what we saw with William Contreras this year. So, I don't know. So it's a name to keep on the, you know, the back burner.
Yeah, I mean, I like the thought there, and I think there's actually going to be a lot of playing time potentially opening up for him because both Maldonado and Vasquez are free agents after this year. Gurriel is also going to be a free agent after this year. And I believe there's an option on Altuve's contract as well. So there's all sorts of places where he could potentially kind of fall into playing time. And then he can always slot in left field if him and Jordan kind of go back and forth from DH and left field, since just about anybody could play left field in Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see getting to next March and people starting to be like, Yonier Diaz has got catcher eligibility and he's going to DH and play the outfield. And like, I could see his draft price going up next March, in like, you know, deeper leagues where, you know, we're telling you about in September. Yeah.
So just, you know, put that one on your watch list. Pay attention. Trey Mancini's still there, and he's pretty much the only other, like, first base DH option other than him and Jordan. So
hopefully Yonier Diaz doesn't lose catcher eligibility in September by only playing like DH.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't think he will, just because the you know, he still played, I think, mostly catcher here in the minors. But yes, hopefully he doesn't ruin it his eligibility by getting called up at the end of the season. All right, Gary, one more guy, and it's really going to talk about him quickly because we are running against an hour here, but we've already also talked about him, so that's why I think we can go ahead and just discuss it real quick. That's Estuary Ruiz. This is call-up part two for him in AAA this year. He's between San Diego and Milwaukee. He hit 332, 450, 523 with 13 home runs and 70 stolen bases. Yes, 7-0.
That's what I did. I did that when I was looking up Estuary Ruiz. I looked at like the numbers on his stat sheet, and I was like, "Well, he's got 37 steals in 2022, and then he's got 23 steals in." Wait, that's still 2022. And then I went to the next line. I was like, wait, he's got 10 steals, and that's still 2022. Does he have 70 steals this year? Oh, my God. How many leagues could I pick him up in? 70 steals? What? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Oh,
you
no, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, 70 steals is just...
That's it. Like, you're looking at that and you're like, well, that's got to be different years. Is there a typo? Is that 2019 and then 2021 and then 2022? No, those are the same years. He's got 70 steals across three different teams in the minor leagues this year. What? Dude, what?
That's absurd, Gray.
Yeah, that's really absurd.
If you need speed, go pick up Estuary Ruiz. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's what we got for you here.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you need speed, also, if he's able to get playing time, he's a guy who I'm like, give me him in like the final rounds of a draft Champions League too. Like, imagine he breaks camp, like, you know, because they got right now they have Jace Peterson, who's like, you know, obviously he's Jace Peterson, so that's nothing. So, you know, no offense, but Jace Peterson ain't helping you anywhere. So, I mean, if Estuary Ruiz, if he gets everyday playing time, like, in April of next year, whoa, Dude, talk about a guy who you can get in the last round right now in like a draft Champions League and who could potentially steal like 40 plus bags next year. Oh, give me that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see where he spots in the lineup. It's kind of a filled lineup right now. He's going to have to, just piece his way through it.
Oh, by the way, he also had 13 homers. Dude, what? And he had a 350 average or something. I mean, this guy is he is catnip for fantasy baseball. he's like insane numbers. 13 homers, 70 steals, and a 332 average? What? Ah, give it to me, please.
Yeah, it's just absolutely absurd numbers. So hopefully, I mean, maybe he'll finally give us the season we thought we were getting from Alberto Mondesi every year.
No, don't put that on him. Don't put that ugly, bad juju on him. Do not do that to him.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see. I think the biggest thing is, where's he going to play? Because Garrett Mitchell's up. Yelich is under contract for the next 35 years or whatever the hell it is. Hunter Renfro's been just fine, and he's under contract next year. Rowdy Tellez is back next year. So, I just don't – maybe somebody learns first base.
First base. A 70-steal first
base.
Well,
no, not him. Somebody else. Somebody else on the team learns first base. Oh, Christian Yelich's okay, old ass can move to first base, and now that he's terrible.
Oh my God! I thought you were saying Ruiz at first. That would be amazing. Oh my God! Imagine your first baseman in fantasy can steal 70 bags. You're like, oh my God!
That'd be a waste of speed in the outfield, though. All right, great. We're getting a little long here. Bullpen news hasn't really changed, as we mentioned. We talked to get like 3 days ago. So, how about some waiver guys, though? That's always useful.
Gavin Sheets has been hot. A guy who I mentioned earlier, Yandy Diaz, he's been hot. Bubba Thompson, talk about speed. Bubba Thompson can steal some bases, and he's also been getting on base in order to steal those bases, so that's been good. Manny Margot, who we didn't mention over there with Tampa when we were talking about Tampa, but he's also a guy who's been once he's healthy, he's actually been playing just about every day, so that's been good. And another guy who I mentioned earlier, Corey Dickerson, he's been hot for, about a week now. So I don't know. By the time people hear this podcast, he may not be hot anymore. But, yeah, I mean, there's some names that are potential. Nick Gordon, too, which is so random. Very random. Yeah, but he's actually been
like solid for most of the year, surprisingly. Like, I have him in a deeper league, and like he's – every time I look to go – I'm like, oh, Nick Gordon, I got to go cut him. And I'm like, what's he been doing? And he's like, oh, he's actually okay still. And one of the guys who a long time ago earned playing time with the Rays, Evan Longoria, is back, and he's actually been okay as well. On the pitching side, Dean Kramer, Drew Smiley, Jeffrey Springs, Justin Steele's coming back. Kyle Bradish had another solid start. And Dane Dunning, who's kind of been on and off all year from this waiver list because he's kind of on and off as himself. But when he has good matchups, I really don't mind throwing Dane Dunning. He's been very solid in good matchups. Mike Soroka is coming back. Matthew Boyd, name from the random ether, is actually, I believe, getting a call up as well. So just a couple of random names for you to potentially look out for as we enter the deep parts of the season and we're really looking to stream those starts. All right. As always, if you have specific comments, come find us on Twitter. I am at RazBdon. Gray is, of course, the at RazBall account. You can also go to the post on RazBall, or you can go out to the youtube.com/RazBallFantasy, where this show will be up tonight on Friday, so you can actually watch it and get all this information, and you can hit us in the comments there as well. And until we talk to you next time, good luck in all your matchups here in September. We gotta get them going, Greg. It's running out of time.
Yep.
See you, man.
Waits.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.